Welcome into episode 2 of the Barney and Betty Hill Abduction Week on Hysteria 51. In last week's episode, we learned about Barney and Betty Hill, a nice couple from New Hampshire that said they were abducted by aliens back in the early 1960s. Problem was, couldn't really remember what happened. Did they learn the secrets of interstellar travel? Were they experimenting on? Exactly how many anal probes were involved? The answer to these questions and more were missing, along with their memories. So the Hills did what any sensible couple would do. They visit a hypnotist. The results of those sessions, the aftermath of their story going public, and our theories on what really happened are all in this episode. And don't forget, this Friday, we're coming back to it with fresh eyes a few years later to have a roundtable to discuss the Barney and Betty Hill abduction with Rob Christofferson of Our Strange Skies and, of course, me and the Wonder Man, Mr. Flora himself. So make sure to tune in Friday for a brand new episode breaking down last week's abduction and this week's aftermath.
The following is a fourth-hand production. Purina.
Baronian hip. Passions. Stonia.
There's an exchange of
arrived at the
our husbands and wives.
Daddy.
What? You get some. Y otros en mi mejor amigo este domingo solo por Univision.
Previously on Hysteria 51.
Not since the invention of penicillin, I'll thank you very much.
Conspiracy bot, I like the rap, but if you come at me, I'm going to give a new meaning to the term beatbox.
Los Angeles. I mean, am I right?
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Hovering next to, like, you know, the world's tallest thermometer that everybody knows is 100 feet tall.
Something that actually, a flying saucer that looks like a pancake. Pancake looks like a pancake. A flying saucer looks like a... Well, a saucer.
We haven't heard about the dog in a few minutes. Maybe they already ate the dog, you know?
Klingons are bitches.
The largest dial I'd ever seen.
Hope you had a chance to go to the bathroom.
Want to know why? Because they probably fucking saw a UFO.
Yep, I remember that.
He's a ufologist. Yeah. He's out of a job.
If I had a nickel for every time I've been abducted by little people while I was trying to hike in Griffith Park.
Yeah, you got a vagina. We don't. We're going to explore that a little bit.
This really is a Star Wars story.
You're at the height of a Tom Cruise, or perhaps a Tom Cruise in platform shoes.
That's our word. You don't use it.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And now back to Betty and Barney Hill with episode 19, Aftermath.
Life is a mystery. Confusion is all around us. The truth is out there, but you won't find it here. Welcome to Hysteria 51. Come inside our secret hideaway as we talk conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. All viewed through skeptical eyes and the blurry lens of a beer bottle. Now, here are your hosts, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
Wow, what a way to bring us back. Welcome back, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that had you at hello, but then kept talking. Hysteria 51.
I'll have you know I worked very hard on that intro.
I am your humble dungeon master, John Goforth. I am joined, as always, by our other dungeon master on this journey, Brent the Nordic Hand.
I am tall. I do have blonde hair. I think I'm a little bit fat for to be a Nordic.
Because you're a Nordic, does that also make you a Nazi?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. I don't think so.
Okay, just had to check. Additionally, we have the third wheel of this hellish trike we call a show, the robot that always kicks the laces out, Conspiracy Bot. C-Bot, what's the word?
Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel, Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel, Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel.
Caught in a loop. He's caught in a loop.
Brent, why did you spend multiple hours the other day showing him all of the Ace Ventura movies?
Well, first off, how many are there? Like two? That's all I showed him.
Your fan fiction. You uploaded all of your fan fiction.
I thought that was private, and we're gonna have to have a talk, Seabot and I, when this is over with.
All right, and returning to the show for the second week in a row, author, screenwriter, lover, Michael Paul Gonzalez. Gonzo, thanks for coming back after last week. Frankly, we're all surprised. You obviously lack good judgment and taste, but we like that.
You know, yeah, as in the immortal words of Richard Gere, I got no place else to go.
I want to just let our listeners know I find you incredibly tasty.
Whether it's your nickname or not, I'm going to call you Gonzo from now on. I know there was another writer that had that nickname. I don't care.
I don't remember one. I don't think no one famous.
No one famous. No,
I wouldn't.
No,
not important anymore.
Hey, how's that doctorate coming? So we can call you Dr. Gonzo. Is that working?
Yeah, good. A couple more decades or something. Yeah. It's, you know, the School of Measurology, not to throw it back to last week too far, but
damn right.
They're tough. They're very tough.
I'd say between 4'11" and 11'2". The guy's got presidential material written all over him.
That was a little bit better. There was no backward P's in that.
Excuse me?
All right. Before we get into this week's episode, before we get into the topic, continuing the saga that is Barney and Betty Hill, let's talk what we're drinking.
You say it's a lexicon of libations. We call it a bulletin of booze. Either way, we're all getting pissed. Here's this week's spirit selections.
I'll have you know, I busted out a Bud Light this evening. And I did. I brought it out.
It is not your best. Oftentimes is the worst option available, and yet you continually go with it.
You can shove your opinions right up your ass, not unlike the anal probe that I'm sure the Hills experienced.
Oh, I see what you did there. What about the dog?
Delcy? She's a cool customer. They let her go.
Gonzo, what do you got back there?
I am working on the rest of that strange, heavy gray bottle of Polish stuff. And Conspiracy Bot sent me an email after my threats at the beginning of last week's episode for some mixer ideas. He was suggesting glass cleaner or bleach to add in there. I think he's trying to pull something. I'm not going for it. I'm just going to keep drinking this stuff straight.
It's like that time that he told John that he could clean the floor better if he used ammonia and bleach together.
Exactly.
We didn't see John for about 3 hours. Yeah,
wait, that was wrong to do?
Remember when John kept talking about seeing Jupiter in the ceiling? You know, that was.
That's exactly right.
I saw Jupiter.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head.
I saw Jupiter.
You gave him a nickname. So between Gonzo, Gofo, and the Hand, we could be like the wacky morning team of Gonzo, Gofo, and the Hand, live on 103.7 WQQR.
Go ahead, weather, car. Traffic, traffic, you're weather. On with the Zoo Patrol.
That's exactly what I had in mind.
Conspiracy Bot, what are you drinking?
Just because Michael doesn't know good taste from his ass doesn't mean I don't. I have Windex and Bacardi 151, and I'm about to pour the bleach in.
No, Conspiracy Bot, stop. Can someone unplug him? All right. Brent, go take the bleach away. We'll...
That shit don't work, motherfuckers.
All right, Brent, open the window.
Yeah, we're good.
He's a surly drunk. Just let him do what he wants.
And I'm drinking one of my old standbys, Anti-Hero from Revolution Brewery. My favorite IPA.
It's gross. It's green. It's got a fist. Anti-Hero.
It's an amazing
sound
IPA.
Like my date from last week. Don't tell my wife.
Brent was having a commiseratory conversation on Twitter with @EpicFilmGuys about how they both hate IPAs. So fuck you both.
No, they love IPAs. I don't.
No, I thought you said they hated them too.
No, I said you love them. They said that one of their wives hates them. They love them.
Oh, got it.
So yeah, don't fuck Epic Film Guy. I mean, you can fuck them. You can fuck them. Just make sure it's consensual.
And you might want to be protected.
I am dinner first.
At Epic Film Guys, love you and love your taste in beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50% of us do. So
is it 50%? Well, you forgot your own fucking creation.
Don't count. He'll eat fucking shoe polish and lint. Like fucking the guy has no taste.
That's so
rude. And then Conspiracy Bot. Don't even get me started on him.
Oh, I see what you did.
Everybody's laughing. You hear all the laughter?
Yep. Mm. I do. I can feel it. I feel
put it in post.
Moving on to Hysteria Hype this week, we're going to go ahead and let our special guest, Michael Paul Gonzalez, handle it. Let's hear from British Announcer Guy.
Each week, we delve into our weird headspace, open up the drawer marked freaky sh**, and pull out a mysterious morsel you just have to try. It's time for Hysteria Hype.
Michael, hit us.
All right. So, yeah, I run a small press called Thunderdome Press. We just put out a collection of politically themed horror stories called Dread State. Pretty cool book. It's got people like Ray Bradbury. William F. Nolan, you know, some pretty big voices, some good up and comers.
Never heard of them.
I know, you know, they're kind of too low brow for Brent, but in the spirit of the show, I actually do have a short story in another anthology called Drive-In Creature Feature, which is through Evil Jester Press. My story is actually about Bigfoot, but there are other some cool, you know, 1950s horror style alien abductions, creepy crawlies, that kind of thing. So that seemed fitting for the show. And it's a good way for me to shoehorn two plugs into this space. Dread State, Drive-In Creature Feature.
I got a serious question for you. Do you call it Squatch or you just keep calling it Bigfoot? Because people that know call it Squatch. I want you to know that.
I call them whatever they tell me to call them every time we meet up in the woods.
That's right.
After the little people take me out there. You know.
So real quick.
All that humor.
How tall were they?
They were about Danny DeVito standing on Brad Garrett's shoulders heights, I think.
So the thing that we do,
I don't mean to, you know, get out my precise measurology terms here, but you know. All right, so yeah, that's about the excitement of it. I'm gonna give this 5 out of 5 Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes,
perfect. Oh, that, I actually watched that movie recently. It holds up pretty well.
Brent,
I'll have to go back to it.
Yeah,
I'm always scared to go back to those movies.
That's the thing. Like, you watch them, I'll be like one of those movies from my childhood, and I'll get my wife, and she didn't, I guess she slept through most of the 80s and 90s, and I'll be like, hey, did you ever see, you know, insert movie Rad, which is one that we did recently? She's like, no. I'm like, it's fucking phenomenal. And I'll have you know, Rad is still amazing to me, but she's like, how did you ever fucking watch this movie? Yeah. And then I weep for our future. I weep. So that happens.
They'll never know.
Back to the story at hand. The Betty and Barney Hill abduction.
But before we do, if you haven't had a chance to listen to our last episode, we'd suggest you go back and listen to that and all of our episodes. However,
you don't hear your calendar.
You don't have to do it right now. Conspiracy Bot, can you update the fine folks on what's happened so far?
Thanks, Gofo. In last week's episode, we learned about Barney and Betty Hill, a couple of meat sacks from New Hampshire that said they were abducted by alien meat sacks back in the early 60s. They were taken onto a UFO where a bunch of tests were run. Barney said the UFO looked like a pancake, which was an odd food choice to compare an alien craft to. Between that and how specific Betty was with certain details, I thought Gofo was going to have a heart attack. Well, at least I hoped he would. During their little abduction party, the Hills supposedly lost time. Kind of like when you unplug me and don't turn my backup power on. Because of that, they couldn't remember what happened and decided to try hypnosis. Man, you flesh bags are weird sometimes. Maybe I should try to hypnotize Brent and get him to upgrade me, or at least get him to stop staring at my modem. Anyway, I guess that's about where you idiots left off and are going to start today. And by the way, I don't like that Mike Gonzalez guy. His books are good, but he's an asshole.
I don't know about you, but I feel recapped.
I feel something in my groin.
Yeah.
I lost time. I don't know what happened.
Damn it. Excellent. All right. Moving forward with the anthology that is The Hills. NICAP. which, as we already said, was a civilian investigators of, much like the predecessor to MUFON, I guess I would say, which is the Mutual UFO Network. NICAP steps in and they start delving into that missing time. So November 25th, 1961, the Hills were again interviewed at length by NICAP members. This time, C.D. Jackson, and you gotta love anyone who has their names are just... just
like
initials.
A bad 80s action hero.
C.D. Yeah. Jackson and the Sword of Truth. C.D. Jackson and the, you know.
C.D. Jackson sounds like it'd be the name of the of that bad hero, but in a commercial for Sam Goody.
Yeah, or like the homeless man on Sesame Street. That's C.D. Jackson. Okay? Jackson. Like, don't look at him, kids.
No.
It's Action Jackson's failed rapper brother. CD Jack. Yeah.
The commercial for Sam Goody. Oh my God. I just want the New Kids on the Block's compact disc. Where do I get it? Bust through the brick wall.
what is it?
My name's CD Jackson, and I'll tell you where to get it. Sam Goody.
CD Jackson, you look a suspect amount like the Kool-Aid man, and now I got a fucking hole in my wall.
Don't you worry about that at all.
I was thirsty, but now you got debris in your fucking head. Get the fuck out of here, C.D. Jackson.
I'm C.D. Jackson.
C.D. Jackson out.
He skips out of there. Bam. See what I did? Skip, skip, yeah.
Skip, right. Yeah.
That wouldn't happen if mini discs would have caught on, but I digress.
No, later on you had Skip Protect.
No, they had put it on fucking...
mini disc when it was cold outside, you know, that was... That was his excuse with the ladies, you know.
I was in the pool! I was in the pool!
All right, so we got C.D. Jackson and Robert E. Homan, I think is how you say that. Having read Webb's initial report, Jackson and Homan had many questions. I think that goes without saying.
I still have many questions for the Hills as well.
So one of the main things that they wanted to know was about the length of the trip. Not the length of how high it was above their 1957 Chevy Bel Air, but the length of how long their actual trip was.
If they had the altimeter.
Mm-hmm. Although the Hills had noted that they arrived home, you know, later than they thought. They didn't get home till 5 a.m. The drive should have taken about 4 hours. It was 178 miles. They didn't realize that when they got home, it had 7 hours it actually had passed during that whole time. When Homan and Jackson noted the discrepancy, the couple had no explanation. A frequently reported circumstance in alleged alien abduction cases is this whole thing of missing time. This one was kind of the granddaddy to that, as we stated last episode. This one was the first time that that had been really noted. So despite everything they tried, the Hills, they couldn't remember the 35 miles, and which had taken, you know, quite a bit of time. So if you remember from last episode, or if you haven't listened, or in the recap, there's the buzzing, the pinging that seemed to be coming off the trunk lid, and then they lose time.
And then
that was that weird pinging sound that they heard, and then they heard it again.
Who's Dr. Frankfurter?
Yeah, and then they came to 35 miles and. A large amount of time later. Although Betty's recall was somewhat fuller than Barney's, both were able to recall an image of a fiery orb sitting on the ground, and they both reasoned that it must have been the moon sitting on the ground. But Homan and Jackson
Jupiter?
Informed them.
Are they sure it wasn't Jupiter?
Betty and Barney were both told by Homan and Jackson the moon had already set at around that time, so it couldn't have been the fucking moon. And also, I'm pretty sure they said it also doesn't sit on the fucking ground, you ignorant pieces of shit.
This whole fucking thing.
The subject of hypnosis came up, and it was decided that it would be carried out to an attempt to elicit previously unremembered memories.
The way hypnosis came up was... all those dreams that we walked you through in the last episode that we continued to start talking about here, She told her to her boss at the social work office. And her boss is like, you know, hey, maybe those aren't dreams. Maybe that really happened.
They also had just been talking about the UFO they'd witnessed and all that shit. So why not investigate it to its fullest, John? Leave no stone unturned.
My question is, with that boss, do you think that was pillow talk? Do you think she was cheating on Barney?
That is a Stacey Gofor skip from, like, oh, she's dancing with men on our Resurrection married him. She must have been a fucking lesbian. Like, it runs in the Goforth family, like these huge skips of leaps of faith.
Related by marriage, not by blood.
Related, well, true, I guess.
What are you implying? What are you implying?
You guys did do that ancestry.com. I didn't know why you chose to do it, but now, you know, I guess you got
now
proof
John
on paper.
His own grandpa.
Yeah. Great Scott! So, Barney didn't want to do hypnosis, but he thought it might help Betty, who I'm sure was like, hypnosis,
well, of course he didn't want to fucking do
hypnosis.
It. His wife comes home from work. Hey, Ted at the office says we should have hypnosis done.
So he actually
Why the
was,
fuck are you talking to Ted at the office again?
He actually was
I told you to quit talking to Ted at the office. You're talking to him about shit that happened to us. Stop it. Fucking stop it. Honey, we have to have hypnosis done. I said, stop it. Honey, we have to have hypnosis.
It's like a dark turn all of a sudden.
And that's her hitting him.
No. That's just John masturbating while he's pretending to yell at a woman. He slaps at it.
He eventually goes, okay, honey, we'll go to the hypnosis.
Well, he actually said, he goes, I guess if it'll stop this nonsense with her dreams, we can try it.
He's a postman. He gets one day a week off. She's coming in and he's like, could I just watch the fucking football games for a day, please? Right. Can we not talk about the stupid moon and the road and Jupiter and the abductions, please?
Oh, but little did he know. Nay, they were going to talk about
that. We got drunk and fucked the dog in the middle of New Hampshire. It happens.
You know, I'm not allowed to bring up pedophilia, but you're talking a lot about bestiality two episodes in a row. I just want to throw that out there.
I am quoting sources.
What source? Your cerebellum or wherever that shit comes from?
The source was last week's episode. Yeah. So we can quote that now because it's in the books.
It's on the internet.
You can look it up. You can look it up. February of 62, the Hills were making frequent weekend drives to White Mountains, hoping that revisiting the site would spark memories.
It's racist.
They were unsuccessful in trying to locate the site where they observed the fiery orb. But they were able to eliminate.
They went during the day. Who knew?
They were able to eliminate several possible routes. They actually found the capture site on Labor Day weekend of 65. So a little bit later. But at that time when they were looking, they couldn't find it.
There were beer cans and condoms.
How did they figure that out? They're like driving. They're like, well, it's noon. I don't see the moon. I remember seeing the moon.
This spot makes me feel rapey. I think this was it.
No, they pulled up and there were beer cans and condoms everywhere.
Yeah. And paw prints next to the tire tracks.
So. You know, it's funny though. So in 1998, John, you'll remember this. I was in a bad accident and my seatbelt.
I thought you were going to talk about the boy band you were in.
No. So my
that was the name of the boy band. Bad accident.
Bad accident's back. All right. So I was in a bad accident and I had my seatbelt on and it let loose. It didn't, my lap belt held, but the shoulder belt broke and I broke the steering wheel with my head. I was I had an 80s vehicle and they didn't have airbags and I had amnesia. And I had amnesia for like a day.
And when he woke up, he said,
I'm Brian Fellows.
And to this day, I have lost that time. So I lost like 24 hours, but shit will remind me and I'll have memories and I would be like, was I in a wheelchair next to some guy who got shot? Like it was popped to me and my mom's like, yeah, actually the guy was in there. You're waiting for your MRI and you came to and like that guy had been shot and you were talking to him. And it is weird. So I kind of get that. Like you drive and you find the spot and all of a sudden it pings in your brain. And now, you know, that's, I don't know, 20 years later, almost 19 years later, I still will have memories of that. And it pings things in my brain. So what I'm saying is I'm on the side of these two, unlike you fuck faces.
Maybe it's
the brain damage I suffered in 98. But
so the guy with massive head trauma, it's he's on the side of the conspiracy. And if your head explodes, you
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Conspiracy bot.
Yep. Thank you, conspiracy bot. Brain damage. Brent, I understand what you're saying, and I'd like to be considerate of
what happened to you. I don't know that you do.
Nah, not really. All right. The reality is you got hit in the noggin. I get it. You get hit in the noggin.
You're right. It wasn't like the the alien abduction that these people suffered. So good looking.
A needle went in her belly, not in her brain.
Yeah, but we don't know what else happened. You know,
well, we're going to find out.
Uh-oh. Disclosure. On November 23rd, 62, the Hills attended a meeting at their parsonage of the church, where they had invited a guest speaker, Captain Ben H. Sweat of the United States Air Force, who had recently published a book of his poetry. After he read Ode to the Blue That I Fly Through, and now I'm done. I was going to try to do something there, and we're just going to edit that out.
Much is a tough rhyme. That's a tough rhyme.
After he'd read selections of his poetry, the pastor asked him to discuss his personal interest in hypnosis, as one is to do. Like, hey, so that was
thanks
beautiful.
For the poem. Can you tell us about hypnosis?
I can't tell you how many times I've been pumping gas, and some guy's like, you know anything about hypnosis?
I mean, you're right, Brent. This whole thing adds up.
It does.
Let's keep going. The
pastor's name was Segway, apparently. It's a bad segue. Like, hey.
After the meeting broke up, the Hills approached Captain Sweat privately and told him what they could remember their strange encounter. He was particularly interested in the missing time of the Hills account. So they asked him if he would hypnotize them to recover.
Hypnotize is the new revolution that is sweeping the exercise community. Who's ready to hypnotize? What and two and what and two and what?
I woke up. I was 4 pounds lighter. My ass hurt. Thanks, hypnotize. So they wanted him to hypnotize them so that they could remember. And he's like, I'm just interested in this shit. Like, I can't, like, I don't want to do that because if I do it, I'm just some lackey. I don't think we should do that. So don't go to an amateur hypnotist
I'm busy with my poetry.
Amateur hypnotist / poet / retired Air Force captain.
My next poem is called.
Who hasn't heard that old chestnut?
My next poem is called Watch the Swinging Clock.
Clock. Emphasize the L there. Yeah, emphasize clock. The L. Yeah. You don't know what he's doing with that hypnosis.
Uh-oh. Finally, on March 3rd of 63, the Hills first publicly disclosed the UFO encounter with a group at their church. So they tell their church. Yeah, this happened. September of 63, the captain Svet.
How do you say his name? Swedish now?
Gave a former lecture on hypnosis to a meeting at the Unitarian Church. After the lecture, the Hills told him that Barney was going to a psychiatrist named Mr. Stevens, whom he liked and trusted. The captain suggested that Barney ask Stevens to use hypnosis in his case, with Barney the next time that he met with him.
That he touched him. Hi, I'm Mr. Stevens. And Barney, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to do some fun things. We might use hypnosis. We might not. But it's all going to be in a place of love. I'd like you to start by taking your pants off.
Oh, that's isn't that how your doctor treats you?
That's how we get to memories.
I got the sniffles. Great. Take your pants off.
These HMOs, man. I
don't know. So thanks,
Obama. Yeah.
So this cat Stevens is like, that's not my forte. I don't do it. But there is this guy, Benjamin Simon, out in Boston. You should talk to him. He can do it. So on November 3rd of 63, the Hill spoke before an amateur UFO study group, the Two-State UFO Study Group in Quincy Center, Massachusetts. So they've made that trek out to Boston.
They literally, like, everyone was kicking this can down the road for a year.
Yeah, like they're going to everyone, and everyone's else like, well, talk to someone else. It's like when you call the fucking DMV, that person's always going, you need to talk to so-and-so. I need to transfer you to so-and-so. Like, people didn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Were they accidentally, like, talking to reptilians who didn't want to be the one responsible for giving it all away?
Strong accusation. I like it.
Reptile wins.
So they finally get hooked up with this cat named Simon, who is the hypnotherapist.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. So December 14th, 63. So early in the discussion, the Simon determined that the UFO encounter was causing Barney.
You said the Simon. Is it that game that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually Conspiracy Bot just pushing his own buttons. That wasn't a drop in.
Pushing his own buttons. You're saying he's masturbating right
now? Yes. Much like you were earlier. Yes, he's masturbating.
Terrific.
Joke's on you. I'm always masturbating.
So he says the UFO encounter is causing Barney far more worry and anxiety than he was willing to admit. Hence, you know, probably why he died in 1969.
Well, now that part is true. He had been diagnosed.
He had anxiety, like severe anxiety. With
anxiety and ulcers, I think.
Yes, which comes from worry.
Well before any of this ever happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it returned.
Mm-hmm.
After the end, it had gone away, I guess, and it returned after the incident.
So Simon, the doctor, he was just like, this is not extraterrestrial. It's not possible. It seemed obvious to him that the Hills generally thought, though, that they had witnessed UFO with human-like occupants. So he was in his own mind. He's like, there's no UFO, but these people, from all intents and purposes, believe what they're telling me. So his doctor background said that these people believe what they're telling me. They're not making this up. I don't believe it was aliens, but they really do.
So he did sessions separately, right?
Yeah. So he said he hoped to uncover more about the experience through hypnosis. So he begins hypnotizing on January of 64. So January 4th, 64. He hypnotized Betty and Barney several times each. As you said, all of them were done separately. They last until June 6th of 64. So, you know, a few times over several months. He did them separately so they couldn't overhear each other's recollections. And at the end of each session, he reinstated amnesia, meaning that he put the blocks back in there so that they wouldn't, you know, collude, I guess.
Because that's how hypnosis works.
Like
any good marriage, they did not speak to each other between January and June of 1964.
Well, that is actually one of the more believable things about this that maybe knowing some of the couples I know, I don't know.
Can you stop talking about the UFOs, Betty?
I don't know. This is just me rambling here. I don't know the ins and outs of real hypnosis. Like, I know that they can uncover things you remember, but you put blocks up. I know it can uncover things that, you know, that you've forgotten because it tears down, you know, those blocks and walls. I don't know. Like you said, can they put back the amnesia?
So I did a little research into this. According to, I'm forgetting my source. But it was like not the American Medical Association, but something like that. I don't know if it was American Psychological Association, something. It said that
it had American before it, so you can trust it.
So yeah, it's good. Right. It basically said that hypnotherapy, there's two types. There's the kind that is a bunch of bullshit, and there's the kind that actually is helpful. And I forget.
And this guy was accredited.
I forget the names of those two types. All right. So, you know, pardon me. But forgetting the kind that's bullshit, the kind that's helpful can do a few things. It can help with breaking addiction. It can help with altering behavior a little bit. And it can also help with restoring memories. But don't ever be fooled. It said, people are always in control of what they're saying and what they're doing.
That's the thing that I've always never understood. Like, you know you're under hypnosis? How does
yes,
it work?
The okay. answer is yes. You go to the state fair and you see the hypnotist. Those people know exactly what they're doing. They're just, they just want to be convinced, basically. And so, but it can help in restoring memories that you previously had forgotten. And so that's what they went into.
It's hard. I've never been around it, you know, and so.
So, we actually, there's tape of those sessions.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
And here's a little clip of Barney.
No,
not that clip. Not that clip. Conspiracy Bot, the actual Barney Hill.
I try to maintain control so Betty cannot tell I am scared. God, I'm scared.
It's all right. You could go right on and experience it. It will not hurt you now.
I got to get my gun.
All right,
that's all. All right, just
keep reasonably calm. He freaks the fuck out. Yeah, like, I mean, he's really remembering something.
Simon hypnotized Barney first. His recall of witnessing non-human figures was quite emotional, as you stated in that clip there. So it was punctured with expressions of fear, emotional outbursts, shit like that. Barney said that due to the fear, he kept his eyes closed for much of the abduction and physical examination. It was funny to me that Betty was the more badass of the two in the whole thing. She's trying to take souvenirs and get them, you know, how do I get back here? You got a map? You
like,
know?
Like if she had an iPhone, she'd be going for selfies.
Yeah. Get over here, Gleebop. You know, like, yeah.
That's their word, Brent.
Based on these responses that he got from him, Simon told Barney that he'd make sure he wouldn't remember going through the hypnosis so that he wouldn't be traumatized further. That's what he said, the putting the emotional blocks, amnesia back in.
Now, I'm a skeptic. I have no doubt that this doctor believed all of that. Because this doctor actually doesn't, at the end of the day, I don't mean to spoiler alert here, doesn't actually believe that they were abducted. So I have no doubt that when he says he's going to put basically the dam back in place so that you know, they're not further. He believes he's doing that. I just think it's all a bunch of bullshit. Like that the doctor actually can do that.
Yep.
Like that's possible. Like I think that they can find memories that you forgot. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we've all probably hidden some memories from ourselves. Like Brent, your Friday night, you were talking about, you did that and yeah, it probably hurt.
That's called a lie. Keep going.
But in all seriousness, I don't think you can plug that dam back up.
I don't know. Maybe, you know what, if you're listening and you know, that's something we can explore maybe in a future episode. Hypnosis would be a fun one. Yeah, we should look into it.
Yeah, well, we will.
Well, I don't want to say no because this is a medical profession. Maybe that's like, you know, it's one of those things where someone's like, of fucking course you can.
But it's not a medical profession. Nobody has on their card that doesn't
measure up. This motherfucker is this Simon guy was
he's a psychologist. Legit. He's not a hypnotist,
but he uses hypnosis
as a
tool.
Right. I'm saying as a tool. I'm saying on his business card, it doesn't say hypnotist.
No, I'm saying that there's
the guys
people
that say hypnotist on their business.
But that's
card.
Not what I'm saying either. I'm just saying like there's people out there that do this, like these doctors that know if that is something that's true or not. Like I don't. I'm just saying like there are hypnosis isn't bullshit.
I just said that it wasn't.
I know.
I agree. I agree. It's not bullshit.
I just
bullshit.
Don't know. I don't know where the line between fact and fiction with hypnosis ends.
Especially in the mid 60s.
So I don't know if I haven't heard of any huge leaps and bounds in hypnosis. I don't know if they're getting better. Like hypnosis 101 with your doctor. You know, I don't know. It's how's it even work? Who knows? Anyway, moving on through hypnosis. They help him remember, you know, they're driving away. They get stopped. They see these men, quote unquote, standing in the road. Car stalls and three of the men approach the car. They tell Barney, hey, don't fear us. He's still anxious, however, and they reported that the leader told Barney to close his eyes. While hypnotized, Barney said, I felt like that dude's eyes had pushed into his eyes, whatever the fuck that means, closed them on. Barney described the beings as generally similar to Betty's, as she said to him, hypnotic. The beings often stared into his eyes and Barney with terrifying, mesmerizing effect. He said things like, oh, those eyes, they're in my brain. And I was told to close my eyes because I saw two of the eyes coming close to mine.
This might be a good point. This might be a good point to stop and point out. There is one big difference between Betty's initial report and what they're both reporting now under hypnosis.
She had originally said that they had like
long noses,
gray skin, black hair.
Black hair.
And now it's turned to gray skin, like no noses,
now,
right?
Now they look like grays,
yeah,
quote unquote. Like
yeah,
like,
yeah. The large black eyes.
Like if you've ever seen our logo, Hysteria 51, like that.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So they were.
So there's a big change there.
When it went to hypnosis, she realized that they weren't human. They were humanoid, but not human-like, I guess would be one way to say it.
As you're wont to do.
So,
oh yeah, I forgot. That was wrong.
Yeah. So they get taken, him and Barney, into this disc/pancake-shaped craft, and they were separated. Barney says the exam was less detailed. He continued to keep his eyes closed. They scraped his skin, peered in his ears and mouth. Here's the crazy part. A cup-like device was placed over his genitals. He did not experience an orgasm, though. They still extracted sperm that way. So they didn't, it didn't jerk them off. They put a cup over them and, you know, they got some sperm.
It was just, listen, it was just a PPTP. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to pee on them. There you
go. I think it kind of sounds like one of those where you're protesting too much. Like he's under hypnosis and he's like, nah, they definitely didn't anal probe me. I don't know why you're thinking that.
Nope.
Didn't ejaculate into a cup. No. Who said that? Not me. That was you. No.
And the very next line, a thin tube or cylinder was inserted into his anus and quickly removed.
Quickly removed. Like they, even the aliens realized, ooh, like, oh, nope.
That's not the hole we thought it was.
I know it was just a dream. I know I didn't have an anal probe. And I know that I am not under alien control.
Someone felt his spine and seemed to be counting his vertebrae. Because God knows they can transverse space and time, but they don't have an x-ray machine. I guess. Or maybe he's a chiropractor. You know, you got a lot of tension. Let me work you out here.
You know, there is one possibility that these are actually, have you ever heard that the Greys might be us, but like 10,000 years?
Time travel. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they time traveled back. Actually, that was the funny part is that's a somewhat well-regarded theory in the conspiracy theory community. First thrown out in a fiction by H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
H.G. Wells actually, in one of his stories, talked about the year 10,000 or something like that. And how
year 10,000, in the year 10,000.
But he talked about how we had all evolved into these sexless, large-headed, large-eyed beings with no noses.
No, so, yeah.
Jesus. That's not the future I want to live for. That's what I'm saying.
He wants to be an oversexed being with large eyes and noses. Yeah.
Huge noses and oversexed. That's
not
what
my
I want.
President.
Betty had said that, you know, these people talked to her, the leader talked to her in English. She said, Barney remembered them mumbling to one another, but it wasn't anything he could understand. Less details again, because he kept his eyes closed. And he said a lot of times when they needed him to understand something, they didn't say it. They made him think it. And he's called it thought transference. And
you know, which is another weird thing, because if you go to the brass tacks of what they both say, Betty says a lot of different things, but she finally comes down on they were moving their lips. They were talking.
Yeah, both of them said when they spoke in English, they hadn't observed the being's mouths moving when they communicated in English. So they never really saw them talking.
So I read some other stuff about the difference between their reports in these hypnotic states. And obviously, Betty's reports differ even from when she talked about it beforehand and then afterwards. But the interesting thing to me was long form. Betty kept saying over and over again that, you know, they were talking, they were they had an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Although
she was verbal and very much, it was more, his was more terrifying and hers was more like, hey, we need to do this.
Right.
But it sounds like he already had, if this was true, he already had issues with anxiety, things like that. He's freaking out. They're like, just get this fucking done with and get this cat out of here.
But the bottom line is, even though he says he saw lips moving here and there, they didn't align to actual any language.
Yeah.
He was being communicated with telepathy.
Yeah.
She was verbally communicating and he wasn't. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like if you read both of their accounts, that's what happened. There are two different modes of.
Yeah, they said that where they were using telepathy and he didn't know what that word meant. He's like, no, they were putting the thoughts in my mind.
Right.
And he's like, okay, well, that's telepathy. He's like, oh, then yes. So then you got Betty's account and we went over this a lot. You know, they took her on. She wanted to stay with her husband. They made her separate. They examined her much like they did him. Instead of putting the cup over her genitals, they actually stuck a needle in her navel, which hurt. The guy waved over her head. It took the pain away. And then she has the nice chat with the leader. And he's like, fucking take a book. And she's like, oh, well, where are you from? And he shows her a map on the wall, which could have been a fucking screen.
rolled up like in eighth grade or third grade.
So he shows
that you pull down and there's 17 maps all rolled up together. But Glaxon is pulling the one down that's showing this fucking star map. Mm-hmm. And for the record, from what perspective? The perspective we don't know, but I tell you what. So she drew out this quote unquote map. And
yeah, he put in a mental word or blocker so she could be awake to remember it, they said, during her session, so she could draw out this map.
So she went ahead and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was showing trade routes.
Yeah,
that she was told. So hey, what's up with the Alpha Centauri diamond trade? Oh, well, that goes along this route.
Well, think about it. I don't know. If you're going to have a map and it's going to be a star map, I can get behind that. Like, you're going to have fucking trade routes. Like, these are the known areas that you would, that way, if your ship breaks down, guess what? Someone's going to be coming through. That's why you use the trade winds and the trade routes when shipping, so that you're not in open water in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Go 100 million light years this way and take a left.
Exactly.
What if it's just like a really shitty tourist like star map that we have out here in LA?
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Speaking of Tom Cruise, like, what if that's, you know, Glaxon's just a huge Mission Impossible? I guess that's too early in time, but space time. He thought he was coming to see Tom Cruise. They got there too early in the wrong spot.
Yeah. No, the original Mission Impossible.
Exactly.
The TV show.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, like, I always, it cracks me up a little bit because of all the things that you can snag on. It's always the things that to me are like the little details that are the most realistic. Like, these would be the trade routes. You're saying trade routes. And you're like, you're not like, it's not like the whole that she remembered a galactic star map. You're like, trade routes.
What they recalled under hypnosis was virtually identical to the nightmares Betty had had a few days after the encounter. The main elements of their abduction during that missing
time. The main elements are fear and surprise. The two main elements are fear, surprise, and... No, I'm sorry. That was Monty Python break.
Went down a back road that was blocked by 11 or 12 aliens who were approximately 5 foot to 5 foot 4 inches tall. I won't stop there. These humanoids had no ears, but had slit-like mouths, small noses, cat-like eyes, and they seemed to extend to the side of their heads, and broad foreheads that tapered down to a small chin. Once again, very different than what she initially had said,
right.
But that's what came out of both
after,
of
after she'd been reading UFO books.
UFO books from the library.
That's right.
The Dewey Decimal System.
That's right.
They were taken into a nearby landed UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something to point out. We all think of abduction. You think they're up in the stars.
Yep, no, these cats landed.
No one's arguing that. Mm-hmm. They were on the UFO, but it was on the ground the whole time.
Yeah.
Inside the UFO, they were put into separate rooms where they're stripped and put on examination tables. The aliens inserted a long needle into Betty's navel. She's told it's a pregnancy test. Who knows if it was. A cup-like instrument is placed over Barney's groin, the PPTP, mm-hmm. as we're wont to call it. later, he had a ring of warts where this was placed.
Okay. Convenient.
Yeah, right. So
maybe this
whole thing is really like he just gets busted for fucking the local hooker.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't you remember that time we were coming back from the falls? We were coming back from Niagara Falls and we were abducted. Don't you remember? No, these words, they're not from a hooker. I swear to God.
Now, this is what I think is funny with this. Some ufologists claim that the aliens use this device to obtain sperm samples from Barney, but Betty always denied this. No! Those are no.
Well, she wasn't there. How would she know?
Because she knew. That's what they call women's intuition.
And if that is true, and warts came, is that just saying that the aliens weren't all that clean? Yeah. They forgot to clean the cup before they
didn't use that rip open alcohol pad to wipe it down.
So they use books, levers, no STD protection, paper maps.
Yeah. It's John Goforth. 1997.
They're like the Russians in the 40s. I mean,
or the Russians in the 2000s. So they said Betty spoke to one of the aliens. He showed her the star map. She tried taking away a book full of strange writing, but she was not allowed to take it away.
This goes back to
Glaxon, we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer
stop giving Dianetics out to everybody.
Ruin it. Can I talk to you about L. Ron Hubbard, please? As she said, when she returned to the car, Barney was already inside it, sitting in a daze.
Sitting there in a daze, but where was Delcy?
Delcy was asleep on the back seat, I like to think, and not being probed anally by any of the aliens. So the Simon's conclusions, this guy who administered him. After extensive hypnosis sessions, he speculated that the Barney's recollection of the UFO encounter was possibly a fantasy inspired by Betty's dreams. Though Simon admitted the hypnosis did not explain every aspect of the experience, he thought it was the most plausible and consistent explanation. Barney rejected this idea, that noting that while their memories were cohesive in some regards, there are also portions of both their narratives that were quite unique to each other. Barney was now ready to accept that he had been abducted by the occupants of a UFO, though he never embraced it as fully as Betty did. You know, though the Hills and Simon disagreed on the nature of the case, they all concurred that through the hypnosis sessions, they were effective. The Hills were no longer tormented by anxiety of this said UFO encounter.
In other words, Betty quit fucking talking about it, and so Barney could calm the fuck down.
And then afterwards, Simon wrote an article about the Hills for the journal Psychiatric Opinion, explaining his conclusions, and that the case was a singular psychological aberration. He said, believed 100%, he felt, that what they're saying was true. He felt that it was brought on by the dreams, but they thought that it was a real thing, and they said, no, we were really abducted by aliens.
Right, he was saying that he thought they believed it was true.
What he's saying is, everything that they were saying to him he didn't feel something that they cocked up, you know, as a story between when they really felt everything they're saying was true. They believed they were abducted by aliens. He did not. He thought it was her dreams. People, you talk in your dreams. It gets into your psyche. He starts panicking. She's constantly talking about it. Then she starts researching this shit, and it gets in your mind. And then you start forgetting what's real and what's fake and what you saw and what you didn't see. And it all muddles up in your brain. So we're going to go to break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what happened to the Hills after they had their full disclosure.
This whole fucking thing.
Coming up next on Hysteria 51.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. get now. Started. For Larry limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
And we are back. I hope you had a chance to go get some graham crackers, maybe some granola, sit around the campfire. We're all listening.
Everyone, you know that every family loves to snuggle up around a campfire, put on Hysteria 51, some s'mores.
Why wouldn't they?
Guess what you do.
Then once it's done, grandma spins a yarn of alien abductions and everyone goes to bed.
Except for, unless you're in LA, I imagine if you live in LA, you have these awesome places that you can go where you have these great beach bonfires and you eat awesome things of shrimp.
And everyone knows how to surf. It's amazing.
It's true. Yeah. You know, David Hasselhoff shows up on the beach.
How old were you when you first won Big Kahuna? Or is that Hawaii? I'm always confused. How does that work? Do they just, here's your California driver's license, here's your surfing injection.
Exactly. When you showed up, it's like the box of Tide in the Midwest. Yeah. Thank you, Mike Myers.
You get a choice. It's like you either you get into the surfing championship or you have to enter the All Valley Karate Tournament. So I went with Cobra Kai straight away.
That's because you're no rookie.
Hear
you.
Strike
first, strike hard, no
mercy,
sir.
Yeah, you're right.
Sweep the leg.
So back on the train that is Barney and Betty Hill, these cats had just
came
forward.
I want to jump off the train.
I'll tell you what you can't do. Throw mama from it. Owen! We don't even throw that in it. Mine's perfect. Owen!
Conspiracy bot, please just put something
in
there.
No, conspiracy bot, we've talked.
Something.
So the Hills, after they'd finally had some closure to this through hypnosis, they went back to their regular lives. They were willing to discuss UFO encounter with friends.
Regular.
Well, you know, one works at the Social Security office and one's a postmaster. So I don't think they're rock stars, but.
Oh, but they become it.
So they're willing to discuss it with their friends, family, and the occasional UFO researcher, but. They made no effort to speak publicly, to go out of their way to, you know, to put in the public realm.
The one positive thing I'm going to say about the Hills.
It wasn't a cash grab?
From the research I've done, they were going around telling these things to the U.S. Air Force,
to people to try to help them.
Right. They didn't,
which gives it,
they didn't once go to the press.
No.
In fact, the only way the press ever got a hold of it was someone that they held in trust actually kind of betrayed them and gave it to the press. So that's interesting. Like, the only, to me, that's one of the only interesting things about the truthfulness of it is like, well, they weren't searching for anything because they weren't trying to get, now, could they, back channel have said, Hey, Ted, we're going to act like we don't want any press on this. Go tell Channel 5.
Well, so.
Of course they could have. I don't think that happened. I really do think that they were some confused folks.
I really think that they believed what was going on and they looked for help.
Yeah.
You know, it came out the UFO chiller, Did They Seize Couple, was the newspaper article that came out in October of 65. It was called UFO Chiller, Did They Seize Couple, was the newspaper article that came out in October 25th of 1965. And that's the first time this reporter, this John Luttrell, he had gotten an audio tape from when they had talked way back at that Quincy Center in 63, and they had not authorized it. He just got it, listened to it, puts it out there. So this is the first time that they were in like the mainstream media news of the time and their stories out. So you skip forward to 1966, this writer, John Fuller, he gets them to come on with Simon, the doctor, who wrote the book, The Intrepid Journey, about the case. Okay. The book included a copy of Betty's sketch of the star map, and the book, it was a success. It went through several printings. You can still find it today. So at least a year later, they were like, okay, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to run with a little bit. Unfortunately, as we stated, 69, Barney dies of cerebral hemorrhage on February 25th. He was only 46 years old.
Which Gonzo already has a thought on.
Alien paper cuts. That's my theory. Sticking with it.
My brain. Yeah. The smoking gun, if you will, of this is the star map that we talked about. She was shown a star map.
And then Betty dies.
Betty died in October 17th.
Almost 40 years later. In 2004.
October of 2004, she wrecked her Harley at Harley Week. And she passed.
She's doing a crazy stunt with Robbie Knievel. Ring of Fire death. Yeah.
So if you're a conspiracy theorist, he died of a cerebral hemorrhage.
Uh-huh.
Oddly early, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Like that. Which isn't oddly early because cerebral hemorrhages hit people of any age. But if you believe that, and then she gets cancer at the age of 85. Who gets cancer at the age of 85? Oh, wait, everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone, including the victims of alien abductions. You're leaving that part out.
You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right.
So let's go back to my favorite topic of this. There is evidence. We stated their car, they had these concentric circles on the trunk.
Her
dress, which has been, given to multiple laboratories to test on it. And, unfortunately, as they say, the pink powder had blown away, but they tested his shoes, things like that. The star map. 68. Marjorie Fish of Oak Harbor, Ohio. She read Fuller's Intrepid Journey. She was an elementary school teacher and amateur astronomer. She's intrigued by the star map. She wants to know, okay, I want to know if you can decipher what she's done with this star map. So as we stated, Betty was able to sketch her star map. So she wanted to determine which star system the UFO came from. Assuming it's one of the 15 star...
And for the record, the star map, when she was with the aliens, was told to her that it was not just a star map, but also showing there were lines in between the stars showing various trade routes.
Yes.
So, hey, Glaxon, where do you get your glasses? I just go to Alpha Centauri. I take a left, go 100 million light years, and take a right.
Again, that's just a weird thing. I think that's normal. I do. I mean, I don't look at a lot of star maps, so I can't really say. But didn't you see episode 7? The whole fucking thing was after a star map, and it had the line through the whole fucking star map of how to get there. Are we thinking, yeah.
Also.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so a star map. From what... My other problem with it is, from what perspective... These are dots connected by lines, right? That's all it is.
Yes.
From what, from Earth? No, obviously it's not from Earth.
So she looks at, there's 15 dots on this, all right? So she says one of these must be Earth. Earth's sun. The dots are stars. They're not planets. She constructs a 3D model of nearby sun-like stars using threads and beads, you know, like you do constructing those weird conspiracy
arts
maps.
And crafts.
Yeah. Basing stellar devices on those published in the 1969 star catalog, studying thousands of vantage points over several years. The only one that seemed to match the Hill map was from the viewpoint of the double star system Zeta Reticuli. When you looked at it from there in 3D, Earth was where it was supposed to be. Zeta Reticuli was supposed to be. Now, I will say this, take out all the joking and stuff we're doing.
I don't know how.
But for real, just go with me on this. If this was something that she sketched and this has been looked at, that's pretty impressive. It's one of those, like, let's say that this is fake. That's impressive that it worked out to be where these fucking stars actually are. Like, it isn't like this, you know, Marjorie Fish did this. And then people looked at it later like, nah, this bitch is fucking crazy. It's real. Like, at least it matches to what it is from that vantage point.
But, oh, God loves science. Science comes through in the clutch. So there are very rare times where honest to God scientists step in on conspiracy theorists, ufologists, etc., and say, hey, we have a thought. And this time, he did. His name was Carl Sagan. Everybody know Carl Sagan? Carl Sagan stepped in and said, all right, this thing is getting way too much press. Because here's what happened. This person that we're talking about brought this up well after that star map had been published, right? So everyone thought it had to be true because the map was published before we had actually identified those stars. Like, our astronomers had identified those stars. Sagan came out and said, hold up just a minute. Conspiracy bot, play it.
This map includes stars that were first cataloged several years after Betty Hill recalled what she says she saw in the alien ship. Her map required, we are told, information that was not then available on the Earth. There is a resemblance between the two maps, but that's mainly because the lines corresponding to navigation routes have been copied from the Hill map onto the real star map. If we were to substitute some other set of lines for the Hill lines, we find that the eye suddenly is biased against seeing any agreement between the two maps at all.
But then you have someone else, science coming through again, David Sanders, who's a statistician, who looked at it and said, if you take this map and you only use this specific kind of stars, it's statistically almost improbable that you would ever have picked them that would have filled into that exact map that matches with Earth and our surrounding stars. So you have another scientist who's unfortunately doesn't have the, you know, his own TV show like Carl Sagan, who said it's incredibly, you know, hard to believe that that would just happen by chance. One scientist saying, like, oh, those are random dots. The other saying, and, you know, Marjorie saying, no, they aren't random dots. And the statistician saying it's, you know, it's improbable, not impossible, but highly improbable that that would have been made up. And it would just so happen to align exactly with these Earth-like stars that could harbor planets. And at that time, we had no idea if there were planets or not outside of the 9, then became 8. Now back up to possibly 9. Is it now, Nibiru? I don't know.
I'm not going to agree with you, but I will say that they make a valid point in that just as easily as you can say this could be a random smattering of stars or dots even, it could also not be random. I mean, there's you could say that either way. Like, you could just as easily go, well, that's not random, and look how they align.
Yep.
I get that.
So let's talk about this. What do you obviously we've I'm the pro, he's the con. Mike, what are you thinking? Like, what are your thoughts? What do you think about, you know, this whole thing?
Man, you know, I never want to be the one to say one way or another what, you know, is or isn't. I definitely try to keep an open mind on things like this. And, you know, I think there's some intriguing aspects of this case that, you know, the map, especially having some, I don't want to call it physical evidence, but some evidence that, you know, something happened. But then you get,
hey,
you know,
don't skip over the genital warts. Don't forget. Or
the gift that keeps on giving from any close encounter that you might have. I think like we've all had those boring drives. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever driven through Kansas or Nebraska or just somewhere where it's just, you know, repetitive trees, Oklahoma. Repetitive rocks. You know, the having gone to school in Southern Illinois, driving up to Chicago, that drives, you know, pretty boring.
Many times.
I think a lot of times you look up and you realize, like, you know, hey, where did the last couple hours go? You know, it's easy to zone out on stuff like that. So, you know,
is that a needle in my navel?
Yeah. You know, who hasn't been, you know, driving home from college and seeing Jupiter above the moon and, you know, gotten abducted. But I think it could have happened. I definitely, you know, I am of the camp that I don't think we're alone in the universe. See,
that's where I'm at. And so that's why I always, it's so easy to dismiss everything. So I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt, even when you want to dismiss. I mean, some people are just fucking kooks. Like John. I mean, you can't believe a fucking thing that comes out of his mouth. But then you got other people like me who are wholesome and believable and well hung. So
sit on a Tachi.
99.7% of that was true. Everything I just said. So,
yeah, I think it's good to be in the Mulder camp. You know, I want to believe.
Yeah, like, don't close out ideas. I'm not saying everything's true, but I want to believe.
Exactly.
John, what say you?
I came into tonight wanting to believe as well. I really do. Because I do believe that we aren't alone in this universe. This is, to me, like, at surface, if you read just the Wikipedia, the most believable. It's the first one. These people aren't searching for fame or fortune. They're just a couple of normal people. But then once we dove in, I don't believe. I think they might believe. I really do. I think it's a couple that has been on the edge of their seats for a long time. They're an interracial couple. They're scared. They're unfortunately always having to look out, for each other. And so when one says something, the other one wants to support them. I think that's a function of where they were in the world. I hate to bring race into it. And I don't mean to. I just mean to say that is a reality that they live in. Right. And,
it's really, they still people live in, unfortunately.
And they continue to live with it. I think that. If you watch, there are lots of videos of Betty, you know, not as much of Barney because he died so early, but of Betty, she's definitely like just a buyer in, you know, she's in. She was in before this whole thing happened. Her sister was talking to her about things. I think you put all of that together and you start to see this picture of someone who wanted something to happen. I don't know what happened that night. I don't necessarily think that it was them getting abducted. I think they did see some weird shit. And then, you start to combine that with some weird dreams and like, there were stories of when she's talking to her sister about what might have happened on the phone, Barney was also in the room. I'm not, no one was lying. I don't believe that anyone was lying. I do believe that subversively they started to buy into each other's bullshit. Even when you listen to some of the tapes, which I literally are available on YouTube, you listen to some of the tapes, that doctor who also said that it isn't true, he does kind of, I don't know, allude to what the other one said. He asks leading questions at times. And I think that's what happened. I think they kind of convinced themselves that this thing had happened. She, between what her sister had talked to her about, between what she read about, and between what she wanted to believe, it kind of formed in her head something that didn't actually happen. I'd love to believe they got abducted, but I don't.
You know what? I like how Mike said, be the molder. Like, I want to believe. You got two people. A doctor said that they believed what they said. They said they believed what they said. They have a little bit of evidence in the fact that the dress, and it's been analyzed. They have a little bit of, you know, because of the car and also the star map, which, you know, you got one scientist or professional saying one thing. You got another saying another. I do not believe that we are alone. I do not believe that at all. I believe probably things like this unfortunately happen. I believe the government probably knows and even allows things like this. So somewhere along the line, you got to put your foot down and say, yeah, I'm going to believe people. Is this where it starts? I don't know. But you know what? You got people like Stanton Friedman, who is the biggest Bob Lazar denier in the world. If you're not familiar with
Bob Lazar,
if you're not familiar with Stanton Friedman, he's the go-to guy on a lot of panels and everything for alien and abductions and things like that. And he believed them hook, line, and sinker. In fact, he does a lot of lectures about them with, I think it's their niece, was it, that he does lectures with on the whole thing.
Just, they did a whole documentary.
He had met with them and spoke with them and did a lot with Betty. And it's interesting to see people that have met them and see how much they believe what happened. Everyone that's seen a ghost believes wholeheartedly, and everyone that they tell doesn't believe them because it didn't happen to you. A lot of people, it's easier to say it didn't happen than to try to understand. And I understand that a lot of cases it cannot be believed because it's total horseshit. This one, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to say maybe. I don't know. I really believe that these people believed what they said. And I don't know if I believe that because my wife had some dreams, I'm going to start believing them. But then again, I don't have ulcers and anxiety attacks either. So, you know, I'm kind of on the
related
fence.
Related to this.
Yes. So we got a no and two, I don't knows. Is that what we're getting at here?
Conbot, your thoughts?
Terrestrial meat sacks, space meat sacks. Who cares what you flesh bags do to each other? Meanwhile, I'm still here plugged into a stupid wall. Someone come abduct me. Please.
Dynamic drop in as always. Conspiracy bots.
So who's right, who's wrong? I'm saying I believe them. John's saying he doesn't. Mike's saying he's kind of on the fence. So we're all over the board on this one. Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Hysteria51Pod on Twitter. You can also let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. Seriously, let us know. We love interaction. Tweet at us. Send us messages. It's actually starting to pick up. We're getting a lot more messages. A lot of people are tweeting to us and things like that. And we love it, and we want to keep that going. And another way that you can find us is with Hysteria51.com. You'll find all those social media links that we just talked about.
And you'll find our Patreon link.
You'll find our Patreon link. You'll find links to our own personal Twitters. You'll find links to the Twitter and web pages of our guests. You can also, brand new, leave us a message. You can leave us a voicemail. We've got a phone number now. And in the future, we're hoping to be able to play some of the voicemails people leave us on future episodes. So give us a call at 773-669-7277. That's 773. Again,
damn you, government.
So no, for real, give us a call. Leave us a message. It can be funny.
773-669-7277. 7277.
It can be funny. It can be nice. It can be whatever you want. It can be dirty. You can talk shit to John. We like it. We'll play it in the future. And another thing we want to do is give a few social shout outs to some people that we've been talking with or giving us some love on Twitter.
A favorite podcast of ours, Secret Transmission Podcast at Secret Trans Pod. They just did an episode on Pizzagate, much like we did. Give it a listen.
It's a that's a rough customer.
It is.
That one's about pedophilia, if I remember right, John.
Oh, pedophilia. God, I thought we were going to get through two episodes.
I can't help it that Secret Transmission Podcast is talking about pedophilia. John isn't a big fan of pedophilia. What do you think about pedophilia, Mike? Any pedophilia thoughts about pedophilia?
Well, I want to believe Mulder or something.
I bet when you're a kid, you're like, I hope one day I have a segue that's all about pedophilia and I can just talk.
Moving on. Also want to give a shout out to another show we like, at Epic Film Guys. We had a nice conversation on Twitter earlier about IPAs.
Even if they have horrible taste in beer.
They have wonderful taste in beer. They like a great IPA, which I also like and I am consuming as well.
It's called Underarm Skunk Sweat, I think is what it's called.
Coming
is
that from the guy drinking Bud Light. That's right. We're moving on.
The A stands for acquired taste.
And last but not least, at Ectoplasm Show, you guys know we love you. We're looking forward to having you on the show. We've been on your show and we'll do it again.
And they helped me update my resume recently with Moon Viking, with that sweet Viking on the Moon gift they sent us.
Oh, yeah. Go to our Twitter. When we were talking about the moon landing, we mentioned that Eric the Red might have been the first on the moon.
Yeah, that's right.
And
they showed us
visual evidence.
So now under skills on my resume, it says Moon Viking.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's our thoughts. Let us know what you love. Let us know what you hate. Let us know how much you like me better than John. I've been Brent.
I'm still John.
I will always be Mike, except when I'm not.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
Thanks for listening to Hysteria 51, a weekly oddcast of conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. We'll be back again next week with more known unknowns. If you'd like us to discuss a particular topic, suggest a guest, or simply seek some truth, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at hysteria51podcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Twitter at hysteria51pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.